Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Look Forward. I'm your host, Jay. I'm here with my co-host, Brad.
What a delightful episode last week. Always appreciate hearing Tiara's perspective. Important to get perspective of not only a black woman, but a real West Coaster as well, which we never get to hear from on this show. A real Californian.
We don't know anyone who was born and raised
on this podcast.
Never.
Who understands the sentiments of those on the left coast of this country. So always great to have her perspective.
Yes. The only other true perspective. So we're back. I mean, it was fine. It was fine having her on. It was fine.
Yeah.
I have to give her shit. I have to. No, Tiara's always a good guest. So thank you, Tiara, for last week. So we're back. Dude cast, man meetup, guy get together, I guess we call that. So let's jump right into it. It's kind of a light week, incidentally. It's a very congressional
focus. Yeah, it's a very like Congress, like it's so funny to watch political media make a lot of hay about normal like jockeying in Congress. Like
they're
like
so bored.
The stuff that we're seeing you know, between the bipartisan infrastructure bill and the cutout and all that other stuff, like all this jockeying and all progressives are going to tank it and moderates are, this is like, welcome back to normal DC, guys. This is how things typically go. Like you said, the press is really bored, so they have to make everything the fucking battle of the century. I'm not getting too wrapped up in it. The angriest that I am about the back and forth is apparently, according to like some excerpts from some articles that I saw tonight, like the Senate parliamentarian thinks it's her job to protect like the norms and institutions of the Senate, which is very much not her fucking job. And if that's really what she thinks her job is, then you need to have a different Senate parliamentarian. She is literally there to just call balls and strikes. Like that is literally her role.
Yeah. Can we do this? Yes. Yeah. And it's like suggesting balls and strikes, right? Like it's
because they don't have to listen to her. Now they do have to listen to her because in order to overrule her, you need a 60 vote threshold. And that's not going to change because fucking, you know, you got two Democrats holding the line for the filibuster because that's more important to protect than actually doing stuff. But you know, other than that,
what else is new? Right?
Yeah. Other than that, how's the play, Mrs. Lincoln?
Yeah, so let's jump right off the top with this lovely story. Biden pushes deterrent border policy after promising quote unquote a humane approach. Now this comes after the video of the Haitian migrants was released this week of them being attacked at the border by Border Patrol, literally on horseback with whips, like they were fucking cattle.
So to be pedantic, they weren't whips. They were the reins of the horse.
Oh, excuse me, Brad. I'm sorry. defend white men, Brad. Now defend white men as
a whip substitute, perhaps. It's very possible that's the case. But I'm just saying it's not like Indiana Jones is out here.
Okay, fair enough.
Policing the border.
Yes, fair enough. to defend white men for a second, yeah. I would like to just say.
Look, no one's out there fighting the fight for white males out there. So
No one.
Someone's got to carry that torch. Someone's got to carrying the torch, a really bad analogy for white men, given recent events in the past couple of years.
They're like, no, seriously, that's exactly what we'll be doing. Like, fucking take it easy. So obviously, after this footage dropped, you know, I saw Kamala Harris was like, this is unacceptable, blah, blah, blah. Other Democrats were, you know, on the same point, right? Like, hey, this is uncalled for. This is terrible. Here's the thing. No shit. It's really bad. There is no argument in my eyes from the sane people in society that this is unacceptable, right? That's obvious. My issue here is where I get a little pissed is why are you talking Joe Biden and Kamala Harris as if there was nothing you could do about this?
Yeah.
You didn't do anything to remove these psychopaths from these jobs when you got in. This was a problem before you got in, not necessarily on horseback, but this like brutal behavior towards migrants. This existed 100% under the Trump administration, and it existed before that too. I don't mean to pretend like once Trump got in, that's when it started getting shitty. Yeah. But it certainly rose to a different level under Trump. All you had to do was come in and clear house. That's what you should have done. Like, you still had people in border control, like after Biden got in, who were like, nah, fuck those policies that the Biden administration is talking about. We're not doing that shit. Like, they're saying this shit on the news and they still have jobs.
Right. Well, and we were talking before the show about this. So like, it's doubly frustrating because in all matters of like law and order and crime, like, you made the point before the show started that like Republicans have worked the refs so hard for all these years that like their way is the only way, and to be left of that is to be soft on these things. And so Democrats keep playing immigration and enforcement is like one of the rightmost policies that I'd say the current Democratic Party carries with them. And it's funny because they do that because they don't want to get hit by the right for being soft on this shit. The problem is that they're going to do that anyway. Like you have these stories about, you know, the Biden administration deporting, you know, thousands of Haitian immigrants, you know, whose country is still in a state of upheaval and disarray.
Right. They've had a presidential assassination. Mm-hmm. They've had a massive storm and they had a 7.2 magnitude earthquake recently. Like,
yeah.
It's a nightmare over there. It really is.
Right. But meanwhile, you still have Republicans that are like, well, the Biden administration is basically has open borders still. Like there's still
it doesn't
like
matter what they do. Line
out. Yeah. So like since they're going to hit you no matter what, just do what you feel is right. Now, if you feel that this is right, then that's a different conversation. But this isn't what you ran on. Like this wasn't a campaign promise.
And I don't believe that they do think this is right. Right. Yeah. Like, it doesn't feel like a wink and a nod when they come out and be like, hey, this shit is fucked up. Like, right? Like, anybody, of like normal logical brain knows when you see that shit, like, yo, this is wildly unacceptable behavior. Like, it just is, right? You're supposed to, like, if you believe in America or whatever, like, you're supposed to believe that, like, we are better angels or whatever, aren't supposed to treat people like this, right? You may say, hey, we can only bring in so many people. And, you know, even though those numbers are far exceeding what we actually do bring in, like, you may have those policies of like, well, maybe we should only bring in X amount of people. And, you know, that's a problem. But you don't think that this is acceptable, right? Like, right. You know, that's obvious. So my thing is, if you want to be tough on the border, show that being compassionate is tough. Show that strength, right? Don't just play the game of the right, which is, like you said, like anything to the right of Republicans, like kick them out, you know, punch them in the teeth type of shit is weak. No. Like, look, here's my thing. I am an atheist, right? So I can't play this card. But Joe Biden is a Catholic. He is a deeply religious guy. He can play this card. I would be like, passion for fucking people suffering is strength. Like, that's what strength is actually putting yourself on the line to protect people, right? Isn't in like in one of those books that you guys read, like, don't people like lay in front of someone getting whipped? Like, isn't that a whole thing in the Bible? I'm pretty sure it is. I think I paid enough attention in Sunday school when I gave a shit about that, right? Like, there was one of those stories. I don't know, like, Jesus or Bathsheba or somebody with one of those names. Like, no, don't fucking hit that guy. I'll stand there and, like, Jesus catches the whip with his arm or something. I don't know. He fights a guy. I don't know. There's, like, dinosaurs involved. Whatever, right? Something like that.
That must have been from Passion, too.
Yeah. That's right. But the point is, Brad, that's very rude. It's true, but it's rude. But the larger point is you can use being compassionate as a strength, right? Like you don't have to play their game of having to be a vicious asshole towards migrants as being the only option. It's not the only option. You can just be like, look, other side thinks that we should just be treating these people like garbage. And like really call them out on it, right? Just be like these guys believe that we should just treat these people like garbage. And that is not the way that I do things. Yes, we are a country that believes in separation of church and state. But as a Catholic, I could not put forth a policy that does – well, no, because then you bring in abortion. Fuck, you can't say that. So like you just say like as a person who believes in like treating people with, you know, humanity – like, just go for it.
You don't even need to play the religious card because again, like, these fucking white Protestant assholes aren't going to come along anyway because it's not like they read the fucking book that they profess to follow the teachings of.
I mean, they also don't think Catholics are really Christians anyway, so.
Well, you know. The other frustrating thing for me is that there's a lot of things you could be doing as well to improve the immigration status in this country that no one talks about, and I don't understand why it's not a bigger issue because one of the big problems that we have as a country is that the process system for processing people that are trying to cross the border is fucked. You don't have enough judges. It's impossible to get people processed through in a timely fashion. It's one of the reasons why, you know, we have these facilities that we're housing folks in for insane amounts of time. And again, the Trump administration went to the furthest extreme in those situations. And I'm not suggesting that the Biden administration is doing, you know, is going to that extreme, but you can help alleviate a lot of this process by doing a better job to fix the, I don't know if infrastructure is the right word, of the system, but to bolster the system in a way so that you can actually be processing people in a timely fashion.
No, I don't think you're wrong. I mean, I think infrastructure is probably the right word, right? Like it's, if that system is broken or slow moving, and it definitely was further broken in the last 4 years, if it is broken, and you're right, it is, like, it might not feel as overwhelming if you're having all these people come in and it's like, well, we're, like you said, like we're stacking them up at the border, we're putting them in these, you know, these camps and stuff like that. Like, it won't feel that way. Now, there's also something else to remember here, which is these Haitian migrants started receiving information. I don't know if you know this, like receiving information saying like, hey, you like take this route through Mexico and they won't check your papers and stuff. I was reading, I think it was like New York Times or something had this write up, and they were being given information on how to make it to the border, which is something that also happened a number of years ago when it was time for an election before under the Obama administration, I believe. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting like that this is happening where you don't know if it's being manufactured, not that those people aren't real, but they're trying to push to get more migrants to come in to have these like bad situations that will kick off, like, you know, basically, oh, look how the Dems are failing. Now, granted, that may or may not be true. I don't know. I don't think anybody really knows. But what is true is that the Biden administration didn't fix the problem before it became one, right? Mm-hmm. Or like fix the infrastructure, so to speak, before it became a problem. You don't keep the same racist assholes running this shit when you came in that are from the Trump administration. That's a bad idea. Like, what did you think was going to happen, right?
Yeah.
You don't keep the same broken system. Like you said, like the infrastructure is broken and things are moving way too slow. You don't keep those things grinding at the same speed. You fix them because then you can say, yes, we are processing these people. We are giving them places to live and everything else. Then you take away those weapons, those arguments against you. But the first thing you do is you shit can every last one of those assholes that was on those horses. You shit can all of them. You're done. Like this is a federal job, baby. Like you are out of here. We are done with you. Frankly, I would have leveled border control. I would have leveled everybody there, and I would have figured out a way to make that a way more humane situation. I'm not putting in a bunch of fucking halftime Minutemen assholes, because that's all they are, by the way. These are the Minutemen, like on their off days, they just go work for the fucking border patrol.
These are the pricks that couldn't cut it as regular police officers.
Yes. Essentially. and they really hate Latin folks. So yeah. It's like, hey, can I stand at the border and yell at them? Absolutely. I love this job. So fuck that. I'm not saying that's all of them, but a lot of them. Probably the vast majority of them. So fucking level the place. You want to apply for your job again? You can apply for it again. But we're going to do a background check on you. We're going to check all your caseload and all the shit that you've been accused of and everything else. Level it. Like, it is the Biden administration's fault that they allowed this to stand. That's why this happened. Mm-hmm. There's no argument. There's no argument other than you should have done something. So good. You're mad now. Good. Everyone else was mad. Now put on a cape and get super mad and fucking deal with it. Like it's ridiculous. How long are you supposed to wait for this shit?
Yeah.
So,
well, and again, it's a bad look. Like if you're like an Afghan refugee that's coming over,
right?
You know, like how does this look to you right now? Like, or worse yet, like a lot of the Haitian folks that they were trying to remove are people that have been in this country since like 2010 when they first had like the really bad earthquake down there.
Right.
And so like, if you're an Afghan refugee coming over, you're just like, well, fuck, you know, fucking hey, like what's this going to look like in 10 years? And again, this is a Democratic administration. This is the group of folks that supposedly give a shit about what's going on. So,
right. So yeah, there's no excuse. There's absolutely no excuse. And they should have been all over this shit from the jump. Next up, you know what? I guess this actually kind of makes sense. This story is one part like, wow, it's kind of interesting. Two parts. Who the fuck wrote this? Right. And why are you so fucking cool with what happened in this story? The New York Times article, the scientist in the AI assisted remote control killing machine. Sounds like a great Dr. Seuss book.
Did Roald Dahl write this?
Yes, he did. All his stuff just got bought by Netflix. Israeli agents had wanted to kill Iran's top nuclear scientists for years. Then they came up with a way to do it with no operatives present. The entire article reads like that.
Yeah.
Like, ho-hum, no big deal. They're just murdering people indiscriminately inside Iran. And we're just like, that's fine. I don't understand how this article, which is very lengthy, which I read, I don't understand how the entire article, I don't know how many words it is, but it's, again, pretty lengthy, never mentions Khashoggi. Never once. Never once. Never once has it mentioned Khashoggi. And the reason why I'm baffled by that is because what the fuck is the difference between this and what Saudi Arabia did to Khashoggi?
Yeah.
Why? Because Khashoggi was a journalist and this guy is an Iranian nuclear scientist. Yeah. But you can't just kill people because you disagree with them.
Yeah.
Even if they're doing something illegal. That's not how any system works.
So I heard everything you just said just there. And I've got to say that I cannot believe that you've just outwardly, in hour one, no less, just spewed all of like just some of the most anti-Semitic rhetoric I've ever heard in my entire life.
I've had enough, Brad. I've had enough. These people need to be brought to task. No, I mean, but that's the thing, right? Is like you make any comment about like Israel doing something wrong and it's like this is anti-Semitic. Yo, they're killing people with robot guns. They're killing people with robot guns, guys. Come on. Like this is insane.
By the same token. So I did not read this article, but when I hear AI assisted remote control killing.
I know what you got. Look, Brad, hold on. I'm going to write this down on this piece of paper. We're going to do a Kreskin the Magician.
It might not be as like I'm not thinking about like RoboCop or anything like that.
No, I know. I know. Yeah. I've written it down. Go ahead and say it and I'll show it to you.
So you made a drone and you were supposed to like get excited about this?
Oh, see, that's not what I thought. You were going to reference a movie, Brad.
Oh, what were you going to say? What were you thinking?
The answer is The Jackal. No. Terrible movie.
Someone already made that point in our Discord.
Yes, they did. I thought that's where you were going. I'm very disappointed in you.
Yeah. But no, like you created a drone? Congratulations? Like, okay.
Well, not exactly a drone.
Yeah.
Not exactly a drone. So what they did is they smuggled in parts into Iran they took a sniper rifle.
Okay.
They hooked it up to some sort of automated robot of sorts that they made that also had face recognition software. Oh. So that as the caravan of this guy and his family and like seven other or six other SUVs were driving on this road, they like detonated a bomb. And then everybody got out and was like trying to move around. And then they used the automated sniper rifle to locate him and shoot him. Hmm. So it's a little bit more than a drone. It's also kind of terrifying. Yeah. Like, it's super terrifying. The sniper rifle was capable, and I shit you not, 600 shots in a minute.
It's not really a sniper rifle, then. It's a machine gun that happens, a long range machine gun.
Yes. Essentially. Yeah. Yeah. And they didn't shoot him at that close of range either.
Yeah.
So. It's fucking like from a technical perspective, I'm like, okay, that's kind of fucking neat. Right. But the other part of me is like, we are allowing a country to just summarily kill people inside of another country. And we act like this is not a huge deal.
Well, and again, it's not as if, so like, say what you will, about the fact that, you know, we tore up the JCPOA a couple of years ago, but
Turns out the
rest of the world has not completely like turned a blind eye to Iran since then.
Right.
And again, there's nothing to suggest that they've been working on refining nuclear materials to build a weapon.
Even since
the agreement was torn up. So there was no real, like, it's one thing, like, if Israel can like provide proof that this guy was like working on developing a nuclear weapon actively. And if they can show proof of that, then maybe it looks a little bit more justified. But without that, it looks pretty extrajudicial. And Iran is rightfully pretty pissed off, probably, I would imagine.
Yeah. I mean, look, I just don't understand how we can have weeks on end conversations about Khashoggi's murder. And look, I understand. Mm-hmm. You know, the brutality of it, right? Like cutting up someone's body and like, that's fucking horrible.
Well, but that is the difference. Like this reads as, you know, typical run of the mill government wet works. And the Khashoggi thing is like a fucking scene from a Taken movie. You know what I mean? Like that's the difference. Like the Khashoggi scene has almost a fantastical level to it that makes it
right
so over the top. Whereas this is just, you know, covert organizations doing normal covert organizations thing. Like we've been conditioned to accept things like this as being normal business, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, here is the problem though. Like, you're right in that, you know, Iran has, you know, Iran scientists have been killed quite a lot. You know how much they've been killed? There's a Wikipedia entry called Assassinations of Iranian Nuclear Scientists. Like, they've lost five or six. Mm-hmm. Six, not including, this latest guy, right? Fakhzadeh. I'm definitely butchering that. So it's a little insane. So between just 2010 and 2012, four of them were killed, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we are just indiscriminately killing them at like whatever, dude, that's just what we're doing. Like, that's crazy to me. And look, the article does talk about, and I don't know about the other four Iranian scientists that were killed while Obama was president. I honestly don't know their history, right? So like, I'm just reading it now. So I can't pretend like Americans were like that upset about it. I don't know. It would seem a little weird that we would be cool with it, considering that we're trying to get something passed. Like, that doesn't really make sense.
Well, and that's the other thing too. Like, if you are the U.S. and other like Western allies of Israel, like, you're gonna be a little pissed off, right? Like Tony Blinken's got to be calling over there,
like, dude, what the fuck?
Like a little upset right now, because again, if you keep doing this shit,
no, but he wouldn't be, because this happened a year ago, Brad.
Oh no, shit, really?
Yes, that's
how are we just finding out about it then?
Well, that's the thing, right? because this New York Times broke the story.
Oh, they dug it up.
Yeah. But that's why there's like so much crazy detail, right? They're like, and like fucking the guy was eating chewing gum and then like, boom, it happened, right? Like they got like crazy detail. Right. But the thing about this, the reason why it happened a year ago is because Trump was cool with it. He was like,
of course.
Yeah. He was like, you want to just like, cause look, they already ripped up the agreement. Oh, you want to just kill these guys? Fucking rock and roll. Let's do it. He gives a green light to Israel. Not that they really needed it, but it helps them. They get a green light. They go for it because they knew that Trump had a chance of losing this election. They were looking at the polling and shit. And so they were like, Biden is not going to be cool with this. So let's go ahead and hurry up and fucking knock this shit out before he gets in. That's why Blinken is not going to be calling, because this shit is already done, which is fucking nuts. So they are aware that the American president and the American administration coming in is not cool with this shit, right? They're not like, oh, Americans love this shit. Like, let's rock and roll. They'll stand by us. They know it's wrong. They know that they're going to get chastised for it from the international community. And they choose to just ignore it and do what they want. Mm-hmm. Look, Israel has a lot of issues that they have to deal with. No doubt about it. But you don't get to just indiscriminately kill people in other countries. Like, we have massive issues with scooping up people in other countries, where people on the left in this country are furious that we did that during the Bush administration. These people are fucking shooting people with robot guns and killing them just because. Hey, man, we think you're doing something illegal. Boom, you're done. Yeah. Fucking just snag them up and prove the shit. I don't know. Get them to admit to it. Something. You don't just fucking shoot the guy. Jesus Christ.
Or just show your evidence. Like the Mossad is not a fucking fly by night organization. They're
one of the best fucking, much are not.
Yeah, special forces units in the world. I'm pretty sure if they really wanted to, they'd have something.
They don't.
Yeah.
I don't think that they do.
But that's the problem. Like that's the problem, is it looks like you're just doing it because, well, we were scared. Like he looked at us with a crazy look on his face. So we had to do that. I'm just like, all right.
He mentioned the word bombardier on a plane. That was enough for us.
Yeah.
Like, can't say bomb on a plane. Not in Iran. Next up, this ironically is I'm not sure it's really tied, but it's timely. Yeah. Democrats to nix a $1 billion for Israel's Iron Dome from a bill to avert shutdown. House Democrats will remove a provision originally included in a bill that would have helped boost Israel's Iron Dome air defense system in order to keep the federal government funded through December 3rd. Incidentally, the House just passed that. Democratic leaders are removing the provision, which was unveiled Tuesday morning after some progressives objected, according to the sources familiar with the last minute snag. So the Democrats are still planning to bring legislation to the House floor later Tuesday, and they're planning on getting it in the bipartisan and bicameral defense funding bill later this year. But the reason why I have this story up there is, why are we spending $1 billion for their Iron Dome? Why? It's $1 billion. We don't have – when we talk about having money to do things like early childhood care or healthcare, stuff like that, we never have money for that. Oh, we can't afford to spend it. Why? Right? Like, is Joe Manchin and Kristen Sinema fighting against this one? Never. Never. They got it. Oh, $1 billion? Fuck it. This isn't too much.
Well, I mean, again, I understand like their point of we have an interest in making sure that Israel stays safe in the Middle East. The problem is that a lot of the things that puts them in peril is of their own doing.
Gee, I wonder if it's like shooting someone in the head with a fucking the Jackal robot.
Yeah, like, or essentially disenfranchising like a significant portion of the population that lives in your country, because you don't agree with their religious affiliations.
Yeah, Brad, I believe someone once called it an open air prison. I believe that's what they call it.
Well, and it's funny because there's a quote in here from Josh Gottheimer, who is a Democrat from New Jersey, who's a centrist, who was frustrated that the provision was pulled, and he said that, you know, we must stand by our historic ally, the only democracy in the Middle East. And I have a bit of an issue with calling Israel a democracy when, again, they're doing everything they can to make sure that
it's not.
All the Palestinians have no voice in their government.
Yeah. I mean, I guess until recently, wasn't Turkey a democracy? Like, as well? I mean,
I think it technically still is.
It's run by an autocrat. Like, that's the problem.
Correct. Yeah. It's a democracy in air quotes.
Yes.
Because Erdogan, you know, is basically president for a real long time. So,
yeah. I remember when Turkey was a place I wanted to visit.
I mean, Russia technically is still a democracy right now. So,
relax.
Technically, by the letter of their constitution, is a democracy.
I'm technically very tall. Technically, by the letter of my own personal constitution. Turns out not really true. According to haters like you, Brad. House passes spending bill and debt limit increase over GOP opposition. Do you think, Brad, here's a lovely rhetorical question.
Uh-huh.
Do you think that the Republicans would allow the debt ceiling to be breached without raising it?
Yeah. But they don't have a say in this, do they? It's 50 votes for this, is it not?
Is it?
I feel like it might be. I don't know if Republicans in the Senate will truly have the say. Let's find out real quick.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm always baffled by this because this is a thing that doesn't need to exist.
Also true.
Right? Like this can go away, but neither side will.
Oh no, okay, so they do need 60 votes in the Senate to raise the debt ceiling.
Then I can't get it.
Yeah.
They're not going to get it. The Republicans are going to let the full faith and credit of the United States falter out of spite. I just want people to be aware of this as we're talking about this on September 22nd. Because when this happens, you will see people on social media pretend like it is the Democrats' fault that this is happening.
Yeah.
It's not. The Democrats are going to all be in line for this. They're going to be like, yeah, of course we need to raise the debt ceiling. That's dumb not to. This is already money that has been spent. Republicans will make the lie and say, oh, no, we can't afford to spend more money. Even though the money has already been spent, the debt limit is just an arbitrary nonsense thing that we allow to still play politics with. The money's already been spent. Like, this is not new money. No, they will let the full faith and credit of the United States falter. And there's part of me that goes, all right, let's see how bad it can get, right? Because at some point, you don't really give a fuck about democracy. You don't actually give a fuck about the country. You care about playing politics.
What do you mean? At some point, they never have.
That's true. That's true.
And I love how people on Twitter are just like playing like the 2019 videos of Mitch McConnell like imploring Democrats to vote to raise the debt ceiling as some kind of gotcha. Mitch McConnell knows what he's doing. He knows, you know, like he knows he's a cynical, fucking double talking, like hypocritical piece of shit.
Yeah,
like you're not getting Mitch McConnell. Like Mitch McConnell is
I didn't remember that footage. Now I'll vote. No.
Yeah.
It's like Brad and I were talking before the show. There was an article. It's like 1 in 4 Americans don't support the overturning of Roe v. Wade. Do you think that matters? Yeah. It doesn't matter. Why are you even writing the article? It's irrelevant.
Mean, it is entirely possible that Republicans don't want to allow the U.S. to default, and they're just playing hardball to get some kind of provision put in or to get some other like moderation on some other vote. Like it's very possible, and Democrats might, you know, give in to that, or they might call their bluff and who knows? Like it's all fucking games.
Stop capitulating.
Yeah,
that's my attitude. Hey, we need you to raise the debt ceiling. Use the bully pulpit. Get out there, pound on that shit, and be like, "Look, Democrats are all in line to get this done. This is money that's already been spent. Stop fucking around with the economy. Stop fucking around with families. Stop fucking around with the United States. If you say you care about it, if this fails tomorrow, it is on you. It is 100% on you. That's it. Go out there, kick the doors in, man. And look, they allow it to fail. Then they, look, guess what? I'd be like, what you want me to do? What you want me to do? We're standing here. What you want me to do? We'll work together. We are working together. Well, I'm telling you, this is what you need to do. You don't have to pass nothing. Like, that's the wild shit. You don't have to pass anything. Just say, we're raising that ceiling.
You know, there's another thing you could do.
Yes.
To get the debt ceiling passed that wouldn't require a single Republican vote. Just saying. I'm just saying. Oh, you know what it is. Everyone listening knows what it is. It's real easy.
Just get rid of it, dude. It's so
if you could, maybe bust up an obstruction that's in your way.
No, Brad, don't say it. Don't say that word.
Then perhaps we could fill our coffers up with debt. The United States.
I'm not going to do this show with you anymore, Brad. I swear to God, I'm just not. I'm not. Andy, where are you?
You had two weeks away from me.
Yeah, that's true. That's
I know you did.
Yeah, now you're all amped. Yeah. These ridiculous statements. No, but I mean, look, the debt ceiling doesn't even need to exist. Right? Like you're
it
right.
It really doesn't.
It doesn't need to exist. This has been played politics, I think, since like really the early 90s, late 80s.
The dawn of time. The dawn of time.
Right. Like,
it's ridiculous. So couple things that could get fucked up if they don't, you know, take care of this problem, could delay Social Security payments, could delay the monthly tax credit installments that are going out, could delay food stamps.
They don't give a fuck about that. They don't care about poor people. They don't care about old people. They don't.
But yeah,
so. Is there anything about it not getting checks to people who vote for Republicans?
because the child tax credit and Social Security are the two
things
that affect Republican voters.
Yeah, but here's the thing: Republican voters don't realize that the child tax credit didn't come from Republicans. They don't care. They don't know. They're like, "Oh, free money, cool." That's great.
I mean, to be fair, I don't know the Democrats know that either.
All right, that's fair.
So.
Because Biden is making a mistake that Obama did, which is like, yo, you got to go out there and like just like wave your dick around, be like, you're welcome. You're welcome. Put Biden on the check, right? You got to pull the Trump shit.
Say what you will about Donald Trump. The man understands how to brand stuff.
Yeah. Just sell it, man.
He does. Call him Biden bucks and call it a day.
Yeah, you're welcome. That's right. I'm not going to spend that money. Okay.
Enjoy your Democrat dollars. That's even better because then call them Democrat dollars. You'll have half the country funneling it right back to you. They'll like return to sender on the check and you can keep half the money.
Hey, you know what? More on that later.
Yeah.
Do you know that story?
I do. There's a lot of Democratic subversion going on.
It's my favorite story of the week. It's amazing.
I can't wait.
Nothing is their fault.
It's we'll get to it later because the Breitbart story that got shared around piggybacks on This Week in Stupid. So
that's the story.
That is the story.
Yeah,
that is the story. The
we got a doozy. That's the story.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's a perfect 1-2 combination then.
Oh my god.
In hour two. Hold on to your butts.
Oh my god.
But this is stupid. The way we treat debt and borrowing in this country is just nonsensical.
It is.
It really is. So,
like, we're playing again. We are playing politics. We're playing politics with something that is incredibly fucking serious. Right.
Well, and again, it's a GOP play because their biggest thing is just austerity, austerity, austerity. That's the biggest goal. The thing that kills me when you talk about eliminating national debt is there's two ways to do it. One of them is to cut spending,
right?
The other way is to boost production. like no one ever talks about the other part of how you can cut down on the debt. Everyone just wants to cut spending, but it seems to me like if you bring more money into the system and give people more money to spend, make it so they don't have to worry about things like student loan debt and medical debt and things of that nature, all of a sudden, they have a lot more money to pump back into the economy, which means that you're producing more shit. GDP goes up. The deficit comes down.
Look, Brad, imagine. imagine, if you will, whisper of a dream, as Marcus Aurelius once said. If we could just raise the minimum wage, Brad, if we could double it, people would take that money. As we all know, people who make $15 an hour, definitely just putting that into their stock portfolio and not spending it, right? Those people would spend that money, thus helping small businesses, helping other businesses,
we had
generating more money in the economy.
We had tremendous economic recovery as a country when the payments from the CARES Act went out. And somehow, especially people on the right, but just in general, people just aren't putting two and two together. When you put more money into the system, magically the system heals itself.
Right.
Because the money comes back around.
Right. And it's not a one-to-one.
Right.
Right. It's not a 1x. Like you give people a dollar, they spend a dollar and that's all you get. That's not how it works, dude. It's double, triple, quadruple the amount that you put in, because that is how business works.
Right. Because businesses, you know, then need to hire more staff, and they hire more staff, then more people have money, and there's a nice cascading flow.
Hello.
It's almost as if that's the real trickle down economics.
Yeah, it turns out.
You started at the government, trickle it down to the people, and then it comes back up again.
It's
shocking.
But Brad, to push back on you just a little bit, is that not like, it trickled down or whatever, and it works, and like it's obviously financially logical and reasonable, but isn't that just socialism, Brad? Like, do we really want to make our children so weak?
To the contrary, it's actually quite pro-capitalism to
do that. You say that, but
weirdly enough, making companies more successful is actually a pro-capitalist stance.
It's interesting. That's an interesting perspective. My gut doesn't say that's true, but you know, I'm going to go with my gut, Brad. Sorry, socialism and communism, by the way, both of those, and fascism,
because
I don't know what any of those words actually mean.
You don't. You do not.
I clearly don't. Yeah, I mean, but it is amazing that you're absolutely right. Right, like this is basic. This is basic financial understanding. Right, like. I'm not a financial genius. I don't understand incredibly complex parts of like government spending. I'm not pretending that I do, but I do know that how the minimum wage works and how putting more money in the pockets of people who are going to spend it and not just store it away in a fucking Scrooge McDuck money bin.
You also know how regular people think.
Yeah. I'm a regular person. Yeah. Hey, sweet. I got $1,000. I'm going to buy a TV. That's what people do. That's not what I do. I store it in my money bin, but I'm different. I'm different than them. But when I was poor, that's what I would do. Like you spend the money. Get out of here, dude. If I got $1,000 a day, guess what? That shit is going right back into the economy. It is. Like, I'm not going to buy a television, but I'm going to buy other shit. Like,
hey, you're going to buy all sorts of like topsoil and plants and things.
Right. Like an idiot. You know? Things that will feed my family.
Think of the small business nursery that Jay is going to prop up with his government windfall.
That's true. Dude, soil is expensive.
It is
expensive. Get out of here. I need $1,000. I got a fall garden to work on. So like it's this idea that we are just incapable of making this decision. Like it feels to me like I know that part of it is there's a lot of corrupt politicians, right? Like that's obvious. Like they're bought and they're like, we don't want to give any money. And it's like, oh, we got $1 billion to give it to these other fucking people. Like, you know, and I'm not talking about Israel. I'm talking about like fucking pharmaceutical companies or some shit like that. Right. Or the incredibly wealthy, but like, you got to start to wonder, is it mostly corruption, or do like run-of-the-mill politicians not really understand this?
Oh, I think it's a lot of things. I think that it's disconnect is definitely there. Protecting the donor class is also very high on the list, as you mentioned. There's an undercurrent of racism and classism thrown into the mix as well, because a lot of this money, if you have programs that funnel money down, is going to go in the hands of poor people of color. And poor families of color and people that – and forgetting the fact that there's a lot of really poor white people that live in a lot of the states that these assholes come from that could really benefit from getting a financial boost from the government. But they don't think about those people because they're so blinded by the people in the cities.
Yep.
That are, you know, the welfare queens, not to drag, you know, that old chestnut back into the limelight.
They believe that,
but that's where it comes from. Like Reagan truly was the originator of this mindset, and that's when that party really shifted hard in that direction. And that's one of the lingering remnants of Reagan Republicanism that has not truly gone away. It's been shifted in a much more harmful direction, I want to say, but just that overall thought process still very much exists, which again is why Ronald Reagan fucking sucks.
It's one of the many reasons.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm forever amazed that we have a solution that would absolutely work and we refuse to use it. Yep. We just refuse to use it. And it's not even one that will cost us a ton of money. It's not. Like, for the amount of money that we spend on all of these other things, no, it doesn't. How much money is the federal government spending if you increase the minimum wage? Zero, right? Like, they're not, they just go, okay, it's $15. Like, right? Like, you don't have to, and I am even sympathetic to the idea of like, well, you can't jump it from 7.15 or whatever it is now, to 15 overnight. Like,
to counter your point, the federal government would spend money if there was a drastic minimum wage increase, because they would, you'd have to put programs in place to
give, help businesses,
like grants to help businesses to cover it, to compensate and stuff like that. So, but it wouldn't be like, it's not like the government would be footing the bill for the entire increase. Like, that's not what would be happening.
No,
not by a long shot.
No, and here's the thing. You don't have to jump it to $15 overnight. You don't, right? Like, I know that some people advocate for that. Oh, let's just do a 15. Like, yo, that's a lot. Like, if you're a small business and you're paying everyone, let's say, minimum wage of $7.15 or $7.25 or whatever, and then tomorrow you have to pay everyone $15 and you're not that big of a business, that's a lot of money.
Well, a good comparison is, imagine, like, if your BGE bill, like, doubled overnight, essentially. Like, that's kind of what that is. Like, it's not all of it's not all of your revenue, but it's a significant chunk of your revenue that you now have to budget for and plan around.
Right. You were not expecting it from yesterday, right?
Right.
So I am sympathetic to the idea of, like, that's a big increase all at once. 100%. By the way, it should have been a stepped increase since it hasn't passed, what, 97 or whatever, or 2007?
It's been a long fucking time.
Right? So it's – it should have been stepping up reasonably. Like, if they kept stepping it up.
At least to increase it at the same rate the cost of living increases.
Right.
Like Jesus Christ.
Or with inflation. Yeah. Or with inflation, right? So, like, I understand, like, that to me is a stronger argument, because then you don't have this, like, battle of, like, $15. Well, if you had just been stepping it up normally, like, nobody's really complaining to you if it's a dollar, if it's 50 cents. Like, nobody – businesses aren't screaming about that. They're like, oh, okay, that's a little bit more money. It's not that bad. But when you have to jump it by $7 or $8, then yeah, because you guys weren't doing your job the whole time, right? Congress wasn't. Yeah. So I am sympathetic to businesses, small businesses, who are saying – I'm not sympathetic to massive corporations bitching about this. Go fuck yourselves. Because if you're still paying people minimum wage at your huge corporate job, fuck off.
Like, it should be small businesses exclusively. Like, if you're a big giant corporation and you can't figure this shit out, fuck off.
Yeah, like, you shouldn't be paying people that little anyway. Like, that's ridiculous.
No.
Right? And reaping in, you know, billions in profits. So
what's ironic is that the free market is actually seems like, especially in it, with what's been going on for the past several months, seems to be kind of regulating that itself, ironically enough.
Yeah. Come work for us. Nah, I don't think so. Go fuck yourself.
Isn't it so funny? Cause, like, we've been pushing to see, like, the bolstering of, like, unionization in the country, and, like, workers have almost, like, self-unionized, but not officially in some way. Cause people are finally starting to understand that it's actually labor that has the power in the marketplace. And if you just choose not to take shitty jobs, then all of a sudden jobs become a lot less shitty. It's funny how that works.
Oh, turns out we'll give you a car if you come work at McDonald's. Just please come here. No one's going to make these burgers. So, you know, I understand the trepidation of that massive increase. I do. Like, I truly understand that. I'm sympathetic to that. My thing is, okay, then make it a step increase, right? You say, okay, it's $7.25 now. Next year it's 8.5. Then after, you know, the year after that, it's 9.5. Then it's 12.5. Then we're at 15, right? Like, you can do it over like 4 or 5 years. I'm not mad at that, right? Like, that still helps people. I know people like to minimize, you know, incremental change as not helping people, but that's because you aren't that fucking poor. It's a fact. Like, you're not. I'm not poor either. So a $15 change doesn't affect me, but somebody who's making seven, making eight is a big deal. Someone making eight and then making 11 is a big deal. Going from 11 to 15 is a big deal, right? Everybody remembers being a teenager where you were like, yo, this job pays $7 an hour. Like, you thought you were rich, right? Because your perspective is that you were only making five last summer.
Dude, I remember when I went from the restaurant industry as like a server to making like $12.60 an hour as the assistant manager of Papa John's. I thought I was fucking loaded.
Like, look out, ladies. Assistant manager coming through. Of where? Papa John's. The worst pizza. The worst pizza ever. I ate 50 pizzas in 1 month. Like, that guy's crazy. So, like, we have to remember that, like, I see so much of people who advocate for, you know, with a certain flower in their profile that, you know, I had a conversation with a guy the other day who said that pulling 25% of kids out of child poverty, even temporarily, was not a big deal. It's because you're not poor, dude. It's because you're not poor. You pretend that you give a fuck about poor people. You don't. You don't. Because nobody who's, hey, by the way, you've never been poor either. I've been poor. Trust me. There is like, no extra help seems minimal. It doesn't. It seems like a lifesaver when you are drowning. So, like, this idea of helping those kids out of poverty, even temporarily. By the way, here's the thing about politics. When you get something through temporarily, you smash it in to be permanent after people get used to it. So,
hello, ACA.
Yeah, that's the fucking point. So when you bitch about incremental change, the point is to get your foot in the door. You just got to slam your foot between that door and the door jamb before it closes. Once you can do that, then you can slowly inch your way in. But you can't just smash in and just hope to get the whole thing fixed in an afternoon. It doesn't work that way.
And it's wild to me because a lot of those folks are incapable of seeing. So like the one thing that Bernie Sanders has done, we talked about it on the show before, the one thing that Bernie Sanders has done that will be his legacy is he more than anyone else has been responsible for shifting the Overton window and shifting what is considered, I hate to throw the term out there, but like shifting and kind of like moderating what is considered radical policy change,
right,
in the United States. And that's because, like, he was the lone voice that kept fighting and fighting and fighting, and he wore people down. And it didn't move that way overnight, but it did over time. And that dude was in Congress for 30 fucking years. And
By the way, Brad, are you saying that his shifting of the Overton window was through incremental work?
That's incremental change. Weirdly, while he was still lobbying for the things that he believed in, he still managed to find time and the gumption to sign on to legislation that might be considered, you know, compromise legislation or stuff that, you know, moved things slowly and shifted things gradually over time. He managed to stay true to his principles while still doing the work of government, which I know is weird when your fucking nose is in the flowers all the time.
Right. I like that term. Yeah. I like that. That's really good.
But yeah, so again, like, you can make small changes, you can shift things gradually over time and still fight for the things that still fight for the goals that you want to get to. Again, there is no quick fixes in politics.
There isn't.
Even in countries that are considered more to the left and more like socialist,
democratic socialist. Yeah.
Yeah. It still doesn't happen that quickly. Like, it still doesn't happen at the snap of a finger.
No.
It takes years. It takes fighting. It takes a lot of like fighting battles that you know are losing battles, but they're still important to fight at the end of the day.
Because you're trying to chip away at a narrative.
Right. And when you go home, you don't fucking take your ball and go home because you lost. You fucking pick yourself up. You dust yourself off and you go back and fight the next day. And you don't sit there and just bitch about stuff on the internet, because again, there's people that want to actually affect change in this country, and then there's people that want to be mad on Al Gore's internet.
Yeah, that's it.
So that's
being really being mad is easy.
Yeah,
that's like my second favorite emotion. All right, like it's easy, but it takes real work. It takes real work to put up ideas and fight for them. It takes real work. And to lose and to come back and then, you know, like know that you're just chipping away at a narrative, knowing that you're just chipping away at people, and eventually they will come along for the ride, right? That's what Bernie did, right? Like, love him or hate him, that's a fact. The reason why you have so many people talking about Medicare for All who are standing on the stage running for president is because Bernie for 30 years chipped away at the narrative until people were like, you know what? That kind of actually makes sense. Now, the problem is he grabbed a whole bunch of people who absolutely agree with him, and I'm super happy that he did, but none of them saw the work come in 30 years. They only saw him running in 2016 and go, see, he brought it up in 2016, and that was it. No, dude. No, no, no. He had been chipping away for incremental change, like Brad said, for fucking decades. Decades. Look how long it took Obama to get the ACA. Obama didn't come up with it, right? And you could say, well, the Heritage Foundation came up with it. But the idea of universal health care or some sort of government-backed health care system has existed far before the Heritage Foundation. Yeah. This is a long, long process that they've been working
on. The person who first floated it on a government level was Hillary Clinton when she was the first lady.
That's sort of technically true, but I would argue it's even before that.
No,
right?
Yes, but that was the first time that it was really like mentioned in
like mainstream politics. Right. Yeah. But like even, you know, that was a thing that was considered back like Ted Kennedy was like, hey, like why don't we do this? And there was
this liver's not going to last forever. Like we better make this shit free. Come on.
Right. Let's go. So guys, I got another chick to kill under a bridge. Sad. I keep meaning to watch that movie, by the way. It's this idea that he came up with this and it was like, he came up with it in 2016 as this like revolutionary thing. It's bullshit. It's bullshit. It's not his original idea, and that's not my point, and I don't think that's Brad's point. But the point is that he had been chipping away at it, and he had been fighting on it for decades. You can't just expect shit to get done overnight, you giant privileged assholes. Like, that's not how politics works. It is maddening to me. It is fucking maddening to me that there are people who legitimately look at that guy's career and go, yeah, I mean, why are we worried about incremental change? His whole fucking career is incremental change. The entire thing is incremental change. Excuse me. The entire thing is.
That's how flustered you are right now.
I'm so fucking mad. Like, it's so irritating because he got so little done in Congress because his whole idea, like you said, was chipping away to move the Overton window. While I don't think that is how, like, that is not a definitive, like, this is a policy accomplishment. It is a part of it. It is a part of it. You got to get people on the idea first. You got to get people on an idea first.
And that's what's different between like him and like a Rand Paul who just fucking votes no on shit just to vote no on shit.
That he doesn't care. He doesn't care.
Bernie at least saves his pointless no votes for stuff that is truly principled and insignificant. But when there's actual work that needs to get done and actual
he'll get on board.
Legislation that needs to get passed, he's on there.
Right.
And he'll get a concession or two. Like, he'll get an amendment or two.
Right.
I'll
give it to that wild-eyed psycho from Vermont.
Right. So, that was quite a tangent from the debt ceiling to where we got
to. Bernie was right? No, but he wasn't wrong about everything, right? Like, I know some people think that we're like, we hate Bernie Sanders. We don't hate Bernie Sanders. I actually really like Bernie Sanders.
Bernie Sanders is like the original Star Wars trilogy to me. I like the original Star Wars trilogy. I hate everything that surrounds the original Star Wars trilogy.
I don't like his fans. Yeah. Like, that's the thing is, I love Star Wars. I hate Star Wars fans. Like, I do. I like, that's a perfect analogy, actually. I hate them. They're the worst fans. They're the worst. I want something new. Here's something new. I hate it. I want to have something old. Here's something old. Why are you just doing the same old thing? All right. What the fuck do you want? What do you want? What do you want? What do you want? Why is it a girl in this? You know, so it's just, it's the worst, right? And it's in 2016 and in 2020, it showed that people never really paid attention to what got him to where he was.
Yeah.
They never paid attention to it. They glommed onto the love revolution or whatever fucking horseshit. And that's all they saw. They didn't see the work that he put in, right? They only said, well, he's been working really long, you know, for a long time. Okay. Did you connect the fucking dots of what he was doing? Because the point was, he was trying to get this idea in the mainstream.
Right. Nor did he wake up in like 2014 is like, I'm a socialist now.
That's his whole thing, right? Love him or hate him. His whole point was that he was slowly pushing that boulder up that hill until 2016, where people will go, holy shit, dude, how about a couple of us help you push it too? Right? Like, yeah. That. And they still haven't made it to the top of the hill, but he now has people who are supporting him. Right? Like, just remember that moment in 2020 where they're like, hey, who agrees with, you know, Medicare for all? It was almost everyone on the stage except for like Tom Steyer. Right?
Tulsi Gabbard. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I don't. I'm pro killing people. All right. Great. That's great. Thanks, Tulsi, you nutbag. But like, everyone on stage was in agreement. Right. And he's like, finally, like, he was fucking happy because that was his accomplishment. That is his legacy, is that he has pushed that into the mainstream. Now, it's going to take people who can do the actual work of negotiating and figuring out how to make it work, like the real fucking hardcore nerds, to push the shit onto the top of the hill and get it done. Meanwhile, you fucking morons are calling people like AOC a moderate now. She's the nerd you need. She's the fucking nerd you need. She is the next coming of this. She is the one who can actually get it done, right? Elizabeth Warren was a person who could get it done. These are the people that you should be like, cool, thanks, Bernie. And Bernie should have gotten the fuck out of the way, but he didn't because of his ego, and let them fucking lead. That is the sign of good leadership, is to push as far as you can, know where your end is, and pass it.
And tag out.
Tag out. That's the point. He stayed too long. He stayed too long, because I can guarantee you, if Bernie Sanders had run in 2016 and got all of that, oh, and everybody's like, oh, fuck Bernie Sanders, we love Bernie Sanders, all that shit, and Bernie didn't run in 2020 and came out with like, you know what? Warren is the shit.
He could have been the kingmaker.
He could have been the kingmaker. That could have been, hey, I pushed this shit. I pushed this shit all the way up this hill. I got it as far as I could. I'm really fucking old. I pushed it all the way up this hill. My mittens are tired. I want to go sit down.
There you go. There's a line to give. To give the neoprogs some consternation. You got Joe Biden because of Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, but you did though. Yeah, but you did. Yeah. If he decided to be a kingmaker instead, because he had power going into that 2020 election. If he had decided to just sit back and just been like, you know what? Warren is the shit. Guess what, man? People would have been like, you know what? All right. You would have had, just stay back and let Warren woo all of those moderates that she had. She had them, dude. She fucking had them. And all you needed was the biggest thing that she couldn't get over was because the Democrats were split and the progressives were split, right? The Democrats were split between moderates and progressives, and moderates were fucking feeling Warren. They were. All he had to do was, if he wasn't in that race and he just came out and was like, I support Elizabeth Warren, all the progressives would have backed her. She would have had enough moderates. She'd have beaten Joe Biden. She would have.
But she was a snake, Jay.
Fucking idiots.
There's a blast for the
fans. Oh my god. She's not a Republican. Do you even know what Repo- Republicans are anymore? She was. Like, when she was like 23 years old. She was a Republican, and she's a Republican, and AOC is a moderate. Who are the liberals in Congress then? Who are they? AOC is a moderate? Wow. Well, that's amazing.
Jay, if you look at politics on a world scale, Elizabeth Warren actually is a conservative moderate.
Yeah, I love that. As if she's running for president of the world. Right, fucking
morons. Or as if it matters, like, what the political fucking spectrum of the world history looks like. I care about what the political spectrum of fucking the United States of America in 2021 looks like. That's all that really matters tangibly. It's another thing is all this like fucking fantasy casting bullshit. Like, well, you know, if things were like this, yeah. Like, if things were like that, okay, great. But things are how they are. So why don't we live in fucking reality?
No.
And make decisions based on that?
No. Listen to Brad. Make decisions based on reality. Lol. Come on. Get out of here. Speaking of reality, there's a live action Peter Griffin. Are you aware of this?
Yeah. I was aware of this, yeah.
Yeah, he's the governor of Mississippi, Tate Reeves. By
the way,
who just looks like a shaved ape to me.
So this is my point. So like there are like I've come to expect this is incredibly superficial to me. I've come to expect a certain level, like a certain like appearance of like what a person in executive politics kind of looks like. Like, you look at Jay Inslee, right? Like, Jay Inslee looks like a governor.
Yeah, he does. He does.
Jay Inslee looks like Jay Inslee. A governor. Martin O'Malley looks like a governor when he was there.
Yeah.
Larry Hogan, you know, looks like he could be.
Sure.
Kind of a governor. Yeah. Sure. Why not?
He looks like an old school president. Like, he kind of looks like an old school. He needs to grow a beard, though. Like, he's got the bald head. He's got to grow a beard. Like, if he's going to run for president, I need him to grow a beard.
I'll give you this. Hold on to your butt, Jay. I'll never say this again. Ron DeSantis looks like he could be a governor.
Ron DeSantis looks like. Let me look up a picture of Ron DeSantis. Ron DeSantis looks like a person who is more than willing to reopen the beach. Because.
Despite the influx of sharks.
Right. Like, he does not. He doesn't think it's that serious.
Yeah. But he at least.
Or that there are actually no ghosts in New York. Right. Yeah. Like, he also believes.
Yeah. He does look like that.
This man has no penis.
I'm committing the Ghostbusters to an insane asylum.
He's that guy.
Tate Reeves, I don't know. Like, Tate Reeves doesn't look impressive enough to have won an election. Like, he looks like a thumb. He's like blotchy on his face. Like he's not an impressive looking man.
No, he's not. He looks like Ted Cruz. Like, he looks like. He looks like a Ted Cruz clone.
He looks like white Ted Cruz.
Yes. Let's all pretend that Ted Cruz isn't white. He's Cuban.
Yes.
Raphael. I think that's it. Like, he's somewhere between a white Ted Cruz and a live action Peter Griffin.
If I would never do it because I'm trying not to give all of my data to like Chinese hackers. But like, if you ever like got one of those like face mixing apps, like, I would be interested to see what a shaved Ted Cruz and Tate Reeves like mismatch would look like.
To quote Pam Beasley from The Office, these pictures are identical.
This is
the same person. Identical. It's the same guy. So Tate Reeves.
It's easily my favorite quote that you like to pull out.
Oh, I do. It's my I love my cousin Vinny. Man.
It's one of the best line readings in the entire movie.
It is, dude. I remember when I first saw that movie, I was like, how do people not find this movie hilarious? Like, I didn't know people thought of it as like a comedy. I thought I was discovering something on my own, and then talking to people, they were like, no, dude, this movie's hilarious. I was like, oh, okay, good. Like, are you serious? Like, this guy is insane. Like, the other lawyer, like, he's awesome. So Tate Reeves decided that he was going to make the mistake of going on Jake Tapper's show disaster.
You know Tapper came to play in this clip because he's wearing the smart the Rachel Maddow glasses.
Yeah, no, he's not. He, like, come on now, like, don't do it. Like, don't do it to yourself. Like, this is a mistake. This is a big old fat mistake you're making, Tate Reeves. So he goes on there to talk about how Mississippi just doesn't have any. They got nothing on COVID. Like, they got the worst numbers in the country. They got nothing. So here is Jake Tapper giving Tate Reeves the business, or part of it. This is like 5 minutes, so we're going to play just a part of it.
Let's talk about what you and the legislature in Mississippi is doing, because I'm sure I don't need to tell you. Mississippi this week became the state with the worst number of coronavirus deaths per capita. In fact, if Mississippi were its own country, you would be second in the world only to Peru in terms of deaths per capita. That's a horrible, horrible, heartbreaking statistic. So with all due respect...
Just shitting on Peru for no goddamn reason. You're the shittiest Peru. Anyway, get back into, you know, America.
In fact, Governor, your way is failing. Are you going to try to change anything to change this horrible statistic from what you're doing already?
Yeah, well, obviously, in Mississippi, our legislature is a part-time legislature. Sometimes I wonder if in America, if our Congress was part-time, we wouldn't be in a better position.
Pause.
But let's talk a little bit.
How the fuck are you going to be like, more people are dying in your state of COVID than anything else? And the first defense point that you roll out is, hey, our legislature works part-time. Maybe things would be better in the United States if we did the same thing.
Bro, no.
As a country.
That's my favorite Republican tactic, is just attacking the federal government that has nothing to do with what's going on.
That shit is so wild. Like, hey, what we're doing is working so poorly. Let's roll it out nationwide. Like, let's make this shit happen.
Yes, because it's Joe Biden's fault that people in your state are suffering horribly.
That's right.
It's Joe Biden's fault, right?
But about
better position than what?
And where
your
we
state
are with
is
the
second,
virus.
second worst in the world. I mean, I how can you
let's
say that?
Let's talk about where we are and why. Well, Jake, let's talk about where we are and why we are there. In large part, just like the summer of 2020, it was the Sun Belt states that saw the initial surge from the Delta variant. It started, the first state that I saw seeing upticks was Missouri, and then it was Arkansas, and then it was Louisiana, and now it's Mississippi.
That's all in a very common area.
It is.
Our surge went from less...
Go ahead.
Before you get too far, like, nowhere is the introspection there to be like, huh, why are all of our states being the ones to suffer through all these issues? Maybe we just like freedom too much.
Yeah, no, it's the freedom. The COVID rides a blanket of freedom right into your fucking nostrils.
Well, enjoy your freedom lungs.
yeah, they're free to not work anymore.
Sunbelters.
Less than 100 cases per day in Mississippi to 3,600, much like what happened in the country of Israel, much like what happened in the country of Great Britain and in England. We saw a very quick spike. And now we're seeing a very, very quick decline in the total number of cases. We spiked at about 3,600. We're now half of that in our state. As you know, right. Unfortunately, fatalities is a lagging indicator when it comes to the virus. It is a lagging indicator. And so timing has as much to do with that statistic that you used as anything else. As we see in 2021...
But if it's a lagging indicator, your infections are still high. It's irrelevant. You're just like, it's a lagging indicator. Stop just saying words. Like, those people are still going to die, dude. Like, well, you have a lot of deaths. Well, it's a lagging indicator. Well, that means your infections are also high, dude. It just means time, dude. It doesn't mean number. All right. I hate Tate Reeves. more. I want to get angrier. Let's go.
What occurred in 2020 as the Delta variant moves around the country, and it's going to happen. The president wants you to believe that this is the Delta variant is only affecting Republicans in red states.
Are you going to change anything?
That's not true.
No, but that does seem to be in fact true.
It literally statistics bear that out. Like, obviously, like, it's not like, you know, blue states are also not, you know, getting COVID infections, but the rate at which the infections are being passed along is dramatically lower in states that are run by Democrats and have highly Democratic populations. Like, it's a fact. It's not conjecture. It's 100% the case because we're not fucking idiots.
Right. We're vaccinated.
Right.
We're wearing masks.
And still, like, we're vaccinated and still taking precautions. Like, we're not just like, oh, we're vaccinated. Let's just fucking rub shoulder to shoulder with strangers out there. Like, no. Come on.
All right. Keep going. Here we go. Come on, Tate. Give me something good.
It's not a fact. That's just not true. And so what you're going to see.
So, Governor, my point is this. You compared yourself to Israel.
The Delta variant is going to continue to move around the country, and you're going to see fatalities rise in other states. And so here's what we need to focus on, Jake, okay? Let's focus on this.
But my question is, what are you going to do to change this?
The best way that Americans – the best thing for Americans to do to protect themselves from the virus – and again – we believe in personal responsibility. Individual Americans and individual
freedom.
Mississippians
so you're not can
take,
change anything.
Make good decisions to take care of themselves. The best thing that Americans can do, number one, is to talk to their doctor about potentially getting the vaccine. Because
see,
in
sorry.
Our state,
stop,
some 89%
right
of those.
Stop right there. Don't fucking stop. Jesus. Stop this bullshit of like talk to your physician. Just go get the fucking vaccine. It's safe.
It's no, bro, that's not. That's not. There's no way to know. Not enough people have taken it. Five or six people are the only people have taken it in the entire
country. The only reason you need to talk to a doctor is if you personally, because of a pre-existing condition on your behalf, might be unsafe taking
right.
the vaccine.
That's it.
That's it. That's literally the only reason.
If you don't have some pre-existing condition, you're fine. You're fine. You're fine. You're fine. And make sure you go down to your doctor and you check with them. Then after they tell you some liberal lie, you go on down to the farm store, get yourself some good old ivermectin paste, rub it all over your penis. Don't get near your horse. He might try to bite you. And then you'll probably be all right. You'll probably be all right. That's personal responsibility, baby. That's Mississippi. I don't know. Like, come on, man. Come on, dude. Come on. Come on, man. Stop.
Was hospitalized, Jesus. And some 87% of those who are of the deaths are actually coming from those who are unvaccinated. So the number one thing that you can do is you can talk to your doctor about getting vaccinated. The number two thing is if you get the virus, and this is very important, if you get the virus, please talk to your doctor about the monoclonal antibody treatment.
You're not
going to
change anything.
That is the best
anything.
Way in which to do that. And unfortunately, the Biden administration continues to try to reduce the allocation to red states like Mississippi and Florida of that monoclonal antibody.
Bullshit. Bullshit. Bullshit.
No.
Meanwhile, Ron DeSantis is giving that shit out like it's fucking candy. Knock
it
off.
No. You know what? I could see them reducing it in Republican states because no one fucking lives there.
Okay, that's
like,
fair.
It should go where people actually live and need to be treated.
Well, I know in Florida they're giving it out like crazy.
Yeah, because people live in Florida.
Okay, that's right. That's true. All right, here we go. Keep going.
Governor.
It's outrageous.
Governor, if Mississippi were a country, you would have the second worst per capita death toll in the world. And I'm
hold on. Did you notice that Tate Reeves, in his rant of things to do, he never said wear a mask?
Nope. Or social distance or quarantine. Like if you get
he
the
never
virus,
even
he's
said
like,
that
go
shit.
Talk to your doctor. He's
yeah.
Like,
if you get the virus, get monoclonal antibodies. Not quarantine, not wear a mask, not stay home. None of that shit. None of it. Just fucking go out. Just get that shit.
Cough on people.
Who gives a fuck? It's Mississippi. We believe in afterlife. All right.
Yeah.
That's not a policy, but okay.
Saying, are you going to do anything to try to change that?
Jake, as I mentioned earlier, deaths, unfortunately, are a lagging indicator. Our total number of cases went from 100 to 3,600, and over the last 2 weeks has declined. They have been cut in half from 3,600 to 1,800. When you wanted me to come
home
3 or 4 weeks ago,
you
want to talk about our number of cases. And then you want to talk about our hospitalizations. Now you want to talk about a lagging indicator. Which is sad.
People
and,
are
and
dying.
I'm trying to talk
about all 9,000 Mississippians that have passed away. But let's put this in perspective, Jake. I mean, the reality is Mississippi accounts for 1% of the U.S. population. We account for 1.1% of the total number of cases in America, and we account for 1.29% of the total number of fatalities in America.
Hold there for a second.
Still died.
So he's passing this off as a statistical anomaly. When you're in a country that has 360 million people in it, and you have 0.2% higher than your population ratio in deaths, that's a lot of fucking deaths.
That is
not just something to kind of just brush off. Right. It's only a fraction.
Right. This is
that's thousands of people.
Right.
Thousands of people.
But this is, you know what this is? This is a bigotry of low expectations, right?
Yes.
He knows that people are going to hear this large number and then hear, you know that the population is huge, you know, and then say, oh, well, we're only 1%. Right. So they just assume that's so low. That's like when people in the beginning of COVID were like, well, you know, 1% of the U.S.
population. Like 3% of the population dies. Like, is that really so bad? Like,
yes, dude, that's a lot of people. What are you talking about?
Like, holy shit. Like 3% is like a million people.
Right. Like, yeah, dude, we don't need that. Oh, yeah. What if it's only 1%? So 360,000 people dying is not a big deal to you? Yo, what are you talking about? Like, That's insane, right? Like, meanwhile, people are like, holy shit, 70,000 people showed up at a football game. That's a record. Like, yeah, so you got 360,000 people to die? Come on, that's nuts. So, yeah, Tate Reeves is, wow. Okay, we only got, just about a minute left. We're almost through it. Here you go.
So the reality is the Delta variant is very transmissible, and it is moving around the country. If you want to talk about cases right now, talk about Kentucky. Or West Virginia, or what's happening in North Carolina, or moving into Southern Virginia.
I'm asking you about your state, but I'm not going to ask you about West Virginia or Kentucky. I'm going to ask you about your state, and I'm just saying you seem to be very, very
stupid,
activated when it comes to fighting the mandate from the federal government. And I understand the arguments you're making, but what President Biden is trying to do is save lives. Now, you can think it's bad policy or it's unconstitutional, and that's fine. We can have that discussion. We already have, but he's trying to save lives. I'm saying to you, your way's not working. And whether you say it's a lagging indicator or whatever your argument is, Mississippi now has, if it were its own country, the second worst per capita death rate in the world, behind only Peru. And I'm saying, are you going to try to do anything to change that? And I'm not hearing an answer.
And that's the end of the clip where Tate Reeves just dove off stage. Fuck this. I'm not answering.
And again, imagine. So like we've talked in the show before about the challenge that a lot of underdeveloped countries have with this, especially, right, you know, countries in like Southeastern Asia and in parts of Africa that are overpopulated and underdeveloped and don't have the infrastructure and don't have the access and the means,
right,
to vaccines. And in reality, like their numbers of cases and deaths are probably higher than reported just because of, you know, the information is not getting out there correctly.
Right.
But to be higher than like places like that, like say what you will about Mississippi, it's at least a state that resides within the most highly developed nation
in the world,
on the planet.
Right.
You should not be anywhere near the fatality rates of third world countries. You just shouldn't be in this instance. And again, it all just tracks back to Republicans being hesitant to tell people what is best for them, even though people absolutely need to be told what is best for them. If we learn nothing from the coronavirus pandemic, can we please learn that libertarianism as a political idea is not tenable? Because the Southern strategy to combating coronavirus is do what you want. Freedom.
Yep. Freedom.
And look how fucking bad it is down there.
How many years have we been telling you that it is a philosophy, political philosophy,
if you
13-year-olds?
If you count on people to just make good choices and do the right thing by each other, they will not.
They will not. They generally won't. Because people...
They literally never do.
Because people generally lack the understanding of systemic reasoning, right? People don't understand that their decisions trickle down to other people. I literally just had to explain to someone on Twitter that was like, well, I live in a blue state, so I can vote for whoever I want. It doesn't affect anything. And I was like, but if you're voting, and they're talking about in 2022, I was like, but if you vote for Republicans, even in your blue state, if any of them win, like judges and things like that on the federal level absolutely get picked. Like, how do you think federal judges get picked, dude? They get picked in Congress. Like, that's why you voting, that's why somebody in a blue state, you know, not giving a fuck or not voting absolutely matters. Yeah, okay, I live in a fucking super blue state. So, does, you know, Brad and I live in a super blue state. But if we just didn't vote and a Republican got into Congress, guess what? That's one less vote for a good judge on the federal bench, right? That's possibly a bad local judge, by the way. Like, mm-hmm. Yeah, no. Like, you have to understand systemic thinking. Voting is not – like – and I hate to say this because it feels like I'm picking on them, but I am in a sense. White people have never had to think about voting systemically in this country. Very rarely, right? They generally vote for themselves. Oh, this is what I want. This is what I'm getting, right? I don't have that luxury, right? Liberals shouldn't have that luxury either, because if you're always talking about helping each other, that means that you have to think systemically. Like, you don't, mm-hmm. you don't get the choice to vote in, you know, just as a meaningless block, right? Or you don't vote individually and just like, I'm only looking at what benefits me. I don't give a fuck about everyone else. The only time the right actually does do that is when it comes to things like abortion, right? Mm-hmm. And they're really good at it because they're like, we all together on this one. And then they all vote together on that. But normally white people, as it goes, they just vote individually. Right. That's why white people are like, oh, I'm really afraid to tell people how they vote and shit. They don't say anything. Right. They get super quiet when you ask them because they're voting based on their shit. And you're just like, I know this because Republicanism doesn't actually help Republican voters by and large. Right. It helps some of them. So they vote individually. Like they're not like poor white people would not vote for Republicans if they were all voting as a block thinking about systemically. They wouldn't vote for them, but they think about them individually, right? So which mm-hmm. fractures them, and that's how they get screwed. Democrats don't have that choice, right? Or excuse me, liberals don't have that choice. People of color don't have that choice. I have to think about if I vote for so-and-so, what are their views on black women? What are their views on injustices, you know, medical injustices for women of color? What are their views on immigration, stuff like that? I'm a black person. I don't get to vote as an individual. The only type of black people that vote as individuals are black Republicans. That's why their rhetoric never matches reality. Candace Owens, yeah, I vote for all these. You're like, yo, that doesn't help anyone else. It helps her. Mm-hmm. Right? Oh, lower taxes. How the fuck does lower taxes for rich people help other black people? It doesn't. It helps her. She's rich, right? So politics is not just a one person thing. It's not. And that's the problem. So yeah, you're right. Libertarianism does not work mm-hmm. in this environment because it requires you to think about society. It doesn't.
And to that point, like white people, especially white people, do generally look at voting as an individual act, an individual expression, and what voting really is. So like it's funny because we don't have a parliamentary system in America. So our politicians don't have to build coalitions.
Right.
Our voters do.
Right.
And
that's a very good point, actually.
And enough white people don't look at the coalition building aspect as much. They just look at it as, oh, I'm going to express myself with my votes. And whether right. that expression is not voting or voting for some yeah. wackadoo candidate or voting for Harambe or voting for the Green Party or whatever,
right.
they look at it as an expression. Whereas in reality, you need to build a coalition. And sometimes yeah. coalitions have to unify behind a candidate that might not be your first choice. It might not be your second. It might not be your fifth. They might not even be on your board, but that's who the coalition has to unify behind.
Right, because you're trying to get 75% of things done.
Right.
And if you're, if everybody's voting as an individual, nothing gets done. Nothing gets done. Like, I mean, that's actually a perfect analysis because mm-hmm. like nothing says I'm voting. Like, I don't take one. I don't think any of this shit really affects me. And I'm going to vote, you know, however I feel, not considering anybody else. Nothing says that more than voting for Harambe in 2016. Mm-hmm. Nothing says yep. that more. Right. Because it's like,
There's one thing that arguably says it more, and that's voting for Jill Stein.
Okay, that's fair. Stein Harambe 2024. But you know, nothing says it more than people who have no chance of winning, and yeah. no chance of like changing anything or fixing anything, right? So this idea, I mean, talking to somebody on Twitter this past week, well, I'm not voting for either one of these people. Okay, so you're not going to vote for either one of them and continue to bitch and complain that nothing ever changes. Well, nothing ever changes because you're not doing anything to change it. You're not, right? You know, people give those Marvel movies a lot of, you know, hard times as not being serious enough or whatever. It's a great quote from the latest movie, Shang-Chi and The Legend of the Ten Rings. If you aim at nothing, you hit nothing, right? So that's what you're doing. You're aiming at nothing, but you're hitting nothing as well and bitching and complaining that why am I not getting a bullseye? You're not aiming at anything. You're not presenting an effort at all. So guess what? From that lack of effort, you will get nothing. Congrats. That's fucking stupid. So, I'm amazed by Tate Reeves's just complete lack of anything. It's incredible. I'm going to skip the Trump sues New York Times story.
Sure.
He's going to sue New York Times and his niece. We can touch on it, I guess. He's going to sue the New York Times and his niece, Mary Trump, because she disclosed this information, his tax documents. He says it breaks the NDA. I don't think it actually does. I think she addressed that.
Right. Nor is the Times, even if she did, nor is the Times beholden to that NDA.
Yeah. That's not how that works.
They were just printing information that they got.
Right. That's one of the luxury loopholes of, being in media. Hey, it's not my problem, dude. Sorry. Like, you brought it to me. Like, they can't solicit illegal information, but if they think that it's legal, if they're not told that it's illicit, mm-hmm. they're within their rights. And I don't think Mary Trump she doesn't strike me as being stupid enough to have done this if it breaks the NDA. So from my understanding, there were things in that she was given, if I remember mm-hmm. her interview, there were things she was given by like her aunt or something that was not a part of the NDA, and that's the information. And also, if I recall, the New York Times got some of the information through another source, and then they asked her to verify it, which is also – that would not be her giving the information to them. That's just her saying, yes, this is true or not. So okay. I don't think that breaks the non-disclosure agreement either. But let's get to This Week in Stupid because we got two good ones. Please tell me –
They're onto us.
Brad, look, man,
they finally cracked the code. Q has finally stumbled upon a conspiracy that is 100% true. And we're fucked. We're so fucked because they've finally broken through at this point.
Oh, Jay, thank God there is a clip of this.
Jay.
Okay. Oh, man.
Well, you can play the clip and then yeah. I'll tell you why. This person cannot be refuted.
I am dying to hear the answer to this. All right, here we go.
I got to put, you know, somebody sent me a thing this morning where they're talking about putting the vaccine into salad dressing or salads. Have you seen this?
Yes.
Have you seen this? I mean, it's, and I'm thinking to myself, this is the bizarro world, right? This is definitely the bizarro world. So there's the seriousness of what this professional realized he was doing wrong, and he's now, you know, he's found a new way. And then there's the laughability on the other extreme that these people are seriously thinking about how to impose their will on us in our society. And it's
take away your freedom of choice. Stop. They know exactly. better.
That was former general, retired general, Michael Flynn.
Salad dressing, Brad. Which flavor? Catalina?
All of them.
It's all flavors.
All of them. Which one of the whites like? That's the one.
Ranch.
That's the
one. You guys love ranch. They're gonna fuck your wings all the way up.
Little balsamic vinaigrette action happening with the COVID vaccine.
Balsamic vinaigrette.
Jay.
I like balsamic
vinaigrette. Never forget that Mike Flynn was the director of national intelligence.
No, he wasn't.
For 3 weeks.
27 days, if I recall.
So, if there's no, I mean, clearly he would know if we're trying to spread the vaccine through salad dressing.
What?
The only solution for anti-vaxxers is just eat dry salads. No dressing.
Salad?
Yeah.
Vegetables, Brad? Vegetables? Yeah. I don't think so. Not on your lives, you liberal assholes.
But Jay, it's in the salads, then it's going to be in the steaks.
Oh.
It's going to be in the barbecue sauce. Like they're probably giving it to the cows and the chickens, and then it's transferring into the meat.
What? Okay. All right. Like, this seems insane because it is. What level are they going to take this, right? Like, are they going to suddenly say like they're not
eating? Tap water. You have to buy bottled water. And then all of a sudden, like, that'll be like Q will take like Dasani and they'll like make it an anagram for something like around the vaccine. Like, no, don't drink Dasani. And we're like, well, you shouldn't really been drinking Dasani anyway.
Yeah, it's garbage. It's garbage.
But then they'll drink like Aquafina because there's a Q in Aquafina, so like they'll trust it, and then like it's see. It's,
but then they'll find out an Asian woman goes by Aquafina. Not good.
It's true. That's true.
Think about it.
And yeah, so like I said, this
she's Chinese, Brad.
I for one hope that they dig as deep as they can with the salad dressing,
dude. Rabbit hole. I'm really like, look, I keep my ear to the ground. That is Reddit when it comes to them tracking the lunatics on Q. I'm hoping the salad dressing thing blows up. I'm like, dude, for the life of me, I just want to see these people like pouring out ranch. No way, I'm eating my buffalo wings dry, baby, like a real American.
Like you said, I mean, like you mentioned earlier, Jay, like, where does the ranch dressing come from, huh? The Hidden Valley?
Yeah, the Hidden Valley, man.
That doesn't sound fucking like Paul Newman's been dead for years, but somehow he's still managing to hawk salad dressing? Like, what the fuck is that?
Oh, a lot of people don't know that. The ghost of Paul Newman has been putting COVID vaccine in his dressing, which are very expensive, by the way.
But they're delicious.
Yeah, it's run by his daughter, who is also married to George Soros. No. Oh, my God. That would be a weird coincidence.
They're probably microchipping the Caesars. Like, you think you're getting little bits of anchovy there. No. That's a microchip. You are so fucked. You are so fucked. Bill Gates, if you eat a Caesar salad, Bill Gates knows where you are at all times.
Oh, my. Don't worry about your phone. It's the Caesar salad. You fucking moron. It's in the croutons, bro. Yeah, I'm really hoping, like with, like, the Nike shoes and, like, all these, like, things, I'm hoping they go for broke. Like, I really want them to be like, I'm not eating anymore. Like, I'm making all my salad dressings at home. I'm, you know, like, that's fine. It's fine. More for us.
I'm just gonna take melted butter and just pour it over my salad. Like, that's probably the only safe method.
Look, between ivermectin, making them sterile.
There you go. That's what you could use instead of ranch dressing.
Yeah, it's just the horse paste.
Yeah, ivermectin. Mix it with a little little Greek yogurt, maybe, and just kind of
use
that as your salad.
No, dude, I checked. Tractor Supply. They have it in flavors. It comes in flavors for the horses.
Cool.
Like they had like an apple flavor because, you know, horses like apple. Yeah, so you get yourself a little, you know, it's like putting a little couple cut up apples in your salad. Like, it's not a big deal, Brad. It's not a big deal. Holy shit, these people are stupid. I wish this was just like really good fun theater and not a means of like lunatics killing their kids with harpoon guns. Cause that happened a couple weeks ago.
I saw the headlines.
It's so. Just like, Jesus Christ. So yeah, these people are insane. Michael Flynn is an idiot. He's either an idiot or he's playing two idiots for money. I don't know which it is, but I do know that he used to have the reputation of, Flynn facts. Which were just made up facts that he would come up with. And that's part of the reason he was fired under Obama. And of course, you know, rehired under Trump. So
despite Obama, like, hey, listen, like, I know you're probably not going to listen to me, but you really should. Don't fucking hire this guy, dude.
Boy, was he fucking right.
Oh my God. Oh my God. If I was Obama, cause like, I would imagine Obama could have called Trump if he wanted to, like Obama probably had a line to the White House.
Of course.
If it were me, after Flynn got fired and was being investigated by the FBI, I would have called him up and have been like, Obama wants to talk to you. Like, yes, dude, I told you.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Look, you already know. You know I would do it. Like, you already know, dude. Hell yes. First call. I mean, like, what time does he get in? Get me on his docket. 8 a.m.
What time is he waking up? 6 a.m.? Noon?
Jesus.
How the fuck does he sleep till noon?
Well, he doesn't go to bed until.
Well, he actually wakes up at 8. He just watches Fox and Friends for 4 hours.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That makes sense. That makes sense. Dude, I told you. So, piggybacking right into the next story, which I don't know if a lot of people saw this story. I did, and I couldn't stop laughing. Apparently, the geniuses over at Breitbart News, I totally forgot it was a thing.
So did I, which is kind of amazing.
Yeah, like during the Trump administration, Breitbart was like such a big thing. And then like after that, people were just like, no, we're done with that. Like, we're done. So a conservative columnist cited recent headlines involving Howard Stern, who argued that people should get the vaccine. He was like, hey, like, the fuck are you doing? So this guy, what is his name? Something Nolte.
John Nolte.
He wrote that this is like a real thought. Like, this is a real thought, like from a human being. He says, quote, if I wanted to use reverse psychology to convince people not to get a life-saving vaccination, I would do exactly what Stern and the left are doing. I would bully and taunt and mock and ridicule you for not getting vaccinated, knowing the human response would be, hey, fuck you. I'm never getting vaccinated. And why is that a perfectly human response? Because no one ever wants to feel like they're being bullied or ridiculed or mocked or pushed into doing anything. So his argument is that the left is purposely telling people on the right to get the vaccine because they know that people on the right will automatically not do what the people on the left say, thus not get vaccinated. But somehow that's people on the left's fault. We've all come to terms with this reverse psychology method of telling Republicans what to do that is a safe thing to do. And John Nolte agrees that people should get the vaccine. He's vaccinated, but he's saying because we're on the left and we're saying it, Republicans will obviously do the opposite. And that is somehow our fault.
Here's my question. How did John Nolte crack the Da Vinci Code?
Well, I mean, he's
because he did it.
I mean, he's Dan Brown, right? Like he wrote the book on this shit. He did. I never thought in my days that the joke of if a Democratic president said to that it was a requirement to breathe, Republicans would hold their breath. This guy is literally making that argument. He's literally making in a serious manner. He is making the argument Republicans will literally do the opposite of what Democrats
and then saying
say.
And then saying like to Nancy Pelosi, Howard Stern et al., how dare you tell Republicans to get vaccinated? How dare you suggest that they save their lives knowing that they won't do it because you said to do it? What the fuck were they supposed to say? Don't get vaccinated, Republicans. We don't want you to get vaccinated so that you fucking die. Like, could you imagine, like, Nancy Pelosi, like, I hope all Democrats get vaccinated. Frankly, I hope Republicans don't get vaccinated so that it'll make it easier for us to win elections. And then Republicans are like, I'll fucking show you, Nancy Pelosi, when they run out of the house.
And just like, I'm getting seven booster shots.
Give me five at a time. Right. Like,
Republicans are so stupid at this point. Like, this is an unbelievable bit of logic.
This might be one of the ultimate, like, galaxy brain takes that I've ever seen. <It's>,
I am befuddled.
Meanwhile, at the end of the piece, he makes, like, the most salient, sensible point, where he says, when you learn that almost everyone that's dying is unvaccinated, that should be a come-to-Jesus moment. Yeah.
That's what we're saying.
It should. It fucking should.
It's now our fault that we are trying to tell them the right thing. Okay. Okay. Republicanism is literally boiled down to, what did you say? I'm going to say the opposite.
I mean,
and again, he knows, like, that. Like, he knows, like, that. That's what he's admitting.
You can literally, like, it's going to boomerang around to Republicans. Like, we're going to live to own the libs. Like, you got us. Like, good job,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, dude, like, we don't want you to die in mass, incidentally. Like, we know that there's a large contingent of you who were more than fine with, like, this QAnon outcome of just liberals being murdered in the streets. But we actually don't subscribe to that. Like, that's the weird thing. We don't want you guys to die. That's why we're like, hey, could you, like, fucking maybe take the fucking vaccine so we can all go back to live? Can we just argue about politics? We don't have to argue about living and dying. Like, just argue about politics.
I mean, weirdly, us wanting them to get vaccinated is also for selfish reasons, because we also don't want to be around them and catch breakthrough cases because they're not vaccinated. Of course. So, like, it's not truly, you know, it's not truly,
like, altruistic. It's not
charity. Yeah, it's not that's the word I was looking for. But yeah, like, we're not like praying that you guys fall into an empty grave. Now, if you play stupid games and win dumb prizes, like, Don't you dare intrude on my Schadenfreude.
That's yeah, all, like, I'm saying. It's on you, baby. Again, I read the Herman Cain Award on Reddit every night. Like,
there's a Slate article about that subreddit that I have queued up that I have not read yet, but apparently it's like the writer was, like, aghast that, like, people are, like, dunking on folks, you know, being stupid, but I'm just like, I can't wait to read this.
No. Here's what you do read. Vice has an article about it, because the people in the Herman Cain Reddit were talking about the Vice article. They were like, yeah, the Vice article is the only people who get it. And it's like, because in the Vice article, it's like, there's one way you cannot win the Herman Cain Award. It's by getting vaccinated. Like, yeah, that's the fucking point, dude. Like, that's the point. It's literally just a litany of people saying, I ain't doing this. Fuck the government. And then it's like, John died.
Right. It's literally the Life Comes At You Fast subreddit, essentially.
Yeah, fuck around and find out.
Yeah.
/ fuck around and find out. Like, I don't wear, like, people like, I'm not getting vaccinated and I'm not wearing a mask. Well, how did you think this was going to go?
Cool.
Like,
why don't you just speed up the process and literally play Russian roulette? I mean, it would save you a lot of time and energy.
It would save a hospital bed.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's the idea that it is our fault that we are telling them the right thing to do and they're going to do the wrong thing is hilarious.
Because we're the messenger. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that, but that,
I would love to hear what this writer's alternative suggestion to us should have been.
He doesn't have one.
Yeah.
He doesn't have one.
Just needs someone to blame.
Yeah. Hey, yeah. He can't just say people who agree with me politically are too fucking stupid to take a life-saving vaccination. Instead, it has to be liberals' fault because they have to be the victim.
By proxy, he is saying
that. Yes, I know, but he's too scared. What? He's too scared to say it straight up.
Yeah.
Yeah. The people that agree with you are dumb. And what you realize is they're as dumb as we've told you they are, and this has proven it. dude, there's a vaccine, you can take it, and your chances of dying are considerably less if you take it. Nah, fuck that. Oh, man, I died. Like, yeah, that's what happens, dude. Like, the doctors aren't lying to you. I was reading r/nursing on Reddit, because somebody had linked to it, that all these nurses are like, you would not believe the amount that work on these, like, COVID wards. They're like, you would not believe the amount of conservative people that are like, oh, I should have, can I get the vaccination now? Where they're like, they're literally on the dime.
I 100% would believe it, because this is the political party that doesn't give a fuck about anything unless it happens to them.
And like, the thing is, I don't take any joy about reading about those people dying. What it shows me is like what propaganda can do. Like, the Republican Party is so built on propaganda and just straight up lies, not even misinformation, just straight up lies, that you're seeing the Republican Party go, okay, we got to figure something out because we are literally losing too many people. Mm-hmm. What is it? We're now at like 1,900 deaths a day nationwide. 1,900. Yeah. Yo, you can't possibly believe that that's like a 50-50 Democrat Republican type of thing. It's not. It's not. Those numbers are way skewed to Republicans.
100%.
Right? Like we said a couple weeks ago, it was three times as many people dying on the Republican side than the Democratic side every day. Three times as many. Yeah, that number is only going to increase. Mm-hmm. It is.
Because they continue to be the folks that aren't taking this shit seriously.
Yep.
So.
I mean, here's the thing. COVID vaccine is getting ready to pop off for 5 to 11-year-olds, right? That's 5 and up. Everybody who's 5 and up, who is without any complications, can get vaccinated soon. That's going to be more fucking conservative kids who are not vaccinated and more liberal kids who are. So they will be protected and your kids will not. And your kids are going to either get long COVID symptoms, or be quarantined from school longer because they're going to keep getting it and keep getting it and keep getting it. Or worse, which I don't want to see happen to any kid, is that they die. Dude, I read a fucking Herman Cain thing. A woman, I think I talked about this last week. Like, a woman, she was like 7 months pregnant. She lost her fucking kid. What the fuck?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Or just, and like the ones that get me is, you know, like parents like leaving behind like, you know,
2-3 kids,
you know, large families, that kind of thing. Or when both parents pass away, like that kind of
a lot, dude. Like, yeah, the stuff I'm reading, it happens way more frequently, right? Because a husband and wife generally share similar political views, right? So it's like, I ain't wearing a mask. Yeah, me either. And it's like, well, you're fucking both dead. And then they die like damn near in tandem of like 10 days from each other. What the fuck kind of heartbreaking shit is that for their kids and their family? Jesus Christ. I saw one video, guy 24 years old. 24, dude.
Well, yeah, that was making the rounds today.
Yeah.
24. Like pleading with people to fucking go get vaccinated.
And he died.
And don't be like him, and he's dead. So.
And he died. 24, yo. Is it worth it? Is it worth it to you? 24? For what? I trust my immune system. Yeah, I do too. Here's a dossier. What the fuck?
What?
We're going to kill this shit. Get out of here.
And the like, my problem is, at this point, I'm just out of energy to scream about this stuff, because at this point, the people that know better have done better. And no amount of screaming. And this is like family members. Like, I have family members that aren't vaccinated yet.
And oh, yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Me too.
And just no amount of screaming is going to change their mind. So I'm just like, roll the dice. Hope it doesn't come up snake eyes.
Yeah.
Like, I just can't.
I don't get it.
I can't be brought to care anymore at this point. Like at some, like that is the part of personal accountability that I do agree with, where in the face of information, of, you know, approvals, of research, all this stuff exists. It's out there. People have tried to share it with you. People have tried to show it to you. And if you're not going to believe it, or you're going to think you somehow know better, then you're reaping what you sow at that point. And maybe you'll get lucky and you don't have to worry about it.
I wouldn't bank on it.
In five years, you might. Again, this is not going away. This is going to be something that we're probably going to just be living with. It's going to become endemic as a society.
But like, okay, and you know, obviously you're correct about that. But here's my question. For the people who are like, well, I'm not taking the vaccine. So it becomes endemic. It's a deadly virus.
Right.
You wearing a mask for 5 years? The fuck are you talking about? Just get the shot, you idiot.
I did see an excellent Times letter to the editor about a guy who said he was formerly had anti-vax views. He's like, I too didn't appreciate having to get the government mandated vaccines for mumps and measles and diphtheria and this and like list all this stuff up. He's like, but kindergarten does have a way of changing you.
Yeah, turns out that's pretty good. I like that. But like, what are you doing? You're gonna keep a mask on for 5-6 years?
I mean, if you're smart, like, if masks should become a semi-regular part of our culture.
Right. No, but I'm just saying, like, a person who is not vaccinated.
But if you're not vaccinated, you're also not wearing a mask. Point blank.
I know people who are wearing masks and who are unvaccinated. I'm like, which one do you think it is? Like, it's either serious or it's not serious.
See, I would imagine that the vast majority of people who are unvaccinated also don't bother taking any other.
Oh, no. There's a ridiculous crossover of, no, this is very dangerous. Okay, why don't you take the vaccine? Well, I mean, they made it too fast. Did you look into how mRNA vaccines work? No, I've never read anything. I've never looked it up, but it's made too fast. Oh, you're a scientist? No, I'm not a scientist. I'm an idiot. No, they don't know. And they don't try to know. And that shit is frustrating to me. Like, I don't get it. I don't fucking get it. It's either dangerous or it's not dangerous. Like you said, if you don't think you should get the vaccine, why are you wearing a mask? Fuck it. Get out there. Be face
and
naked.
Like we said before, why are you going to the hospital?
Right.
You catch COVID. Why are you
going? Go lay down in the barn next to the other animals getting the paste. Fucking go lay down over there. Lay down in the fucking manger like your boy Jesus, and be done.
Call Dr. Pohl. Dr. Pohl can take
it. Right. Like, it's fucking fine. Fucking Dr. Doolittle will come and help you. Get out of here. I'm going in the hospital. Why? You don't believe in medicine? No. You fucking idiot. Go out back. Knock it off. So, yeah, I don't. No, I take no pleasure in seeing those stories, but I read them as an indicator of like, wow, propaganda is powerful. I wish I was really good at it. For my own benefits, for my own personal benefits. I would never tell anybody to do something I knew would hurt them. I just want their money. That's it. It's not that hard. I could wear some pretty slick Jim Jones sunglasses. But I just don't understand the idea of not being vaccinated and also wearing a mask. Like, I don't understand that. Just go for broke. Just go for broke. Like, look, dude, I'll be fine. Something will be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, your newly freed apartment in your building will be fine. Like,
yeah.
Be dead. Like, I don't understand that. Like, I'm not going to get the vaccine ever. Okay, man. Like, this ain't going away.
I truly wish that I had the level of compassion that you do in this case. I really
don't. No, I don't. Like, no, I don't.
Like
I don't.
My Darwinistic instincts are like fire whenever I see stories like this. I'm like, well, you know, maybe that guy was onto something.
No. Don't get me wrong. Like, my thing is, I'm sympathetic to the people who lose people, right? Like, that to me is heartbreaking. I'm not sympathetic to here's the thing about the Herman Cain Award. It's just copies of their post on social media. They're the worst type of people, right? They're like, Dr. Fauci is fucking lying. And it's like, John's dead. I'm like, well, I guess he wasn't lying. I guess Dr. Fauci wasn't fucking lying, right? So you don't feel necessarily bad for them. But I feel bad for their family who's like, here's a picture of John's family. And it's like, he's got three kids.
Yeah.
I feel sorry for those kids. I feel sorry for the people who they leave behind because they lost somebody that they love. That person might have been a piece of shit, but or a troll, but they love them. They cared about them, right? Mm. So I am sympathetic from that. But as the meme my mom sent me the other day that said, I tested positive for or I tested negative for sympathy. like that's where I am right now. Which I was like, that's a pretty good shirt. Like, I like that. But I am. Like, I don't feel sorry for those people. Like, okay. You are running headfirst into a really bad problem. You can fix it. It's free. There are no legitimate arguments for not being vaccinated at this point. Unless you're like, I can't have it because of some like medical thing I got.
Yeah.
Right?
Like my one cousin can't get vaccinated because she has severe, like you guys were talking about on the show last week. Like she has severe anaphylactic reactions to vaccines. So that sucks. Like, hopefully they figure out another way that could be administered to her.
I mean, obviously the ranch dressing.
That's true.
I mean, think about it, Brad.
We did it. thank God for those people at Hidden Valley Ranch.
Just put it in Catalina. That was the dressing I ate as a kid, which is basically candy. If you eat that shit, you're a fucking psychopath.
Again, look, the polio vaccine, as my mother told me, was literally distributed on sugar cubes as if people were a fucking horse. That's where they got the ivermectin idea from. They're like, well, we used to eat horse stuff anyway.
it's fine.
When we were kids. So.
They made us take ivermectin in schools for polio. No, that's not what they were giving. It was, I swear. It was a sugar cube. Like, all right. Yeah, look, next thing these idiots would just be using a salt lick instead of taking aspirin. All right, I think that's it for us. We're going to go back to eating horse paste, and we will see you guys next week.
See ya.
Bye.